This morning will come from Matthew chapter 25, verses 24 and 25. Matthew 25, starting in verse 24 through 25. It reads, "Then he who had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.'"
Every parable of Jesus, is a window. Every parable is a window. A window into the heart and the will of God. So when you see parables in the New Testament, especially those of our Lord, think about parables being a window into the heart and will of God. But not only are parables a window, parables are a mirror. A mirror. Parables help us to see ourselves as we really are. Parables help us to see ourselves the way that God sees us as He looks down from heaven. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. And in Matthew chapter 25, there are a series of parables. When you look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, you've got what we commonly call the parable of the virgins. The parable of the virgins. And when you think about the parable of the virgins, think about be ready. Be watchful. Then you come to a second parable, Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. The one that we'll be focusing on in our study of God's Word this morning. And it's the parable of the talents. And if the parable of the virgins is about watchfulness, the parable of the talents is about work. If the parable of the virgins is about be ready, the parable of the talents is about how to be ready by being useful and busy using what God has given us. And to put it really simply, the parable of the virgins, is about vigilance. Virgins, vigilance. Remember that. Shouldn't be too hard. V. Virgins, vigilance. But the parable of the talents is about diligence. And all these parables have to be seen in the context of the two comings of Jesus. The fact that He has come, born of a virgin, in a manger, walking among men, going to the cross, being raised up, ascending to the right hand of God, first coming, and the second coming when He comes again. Hebrews 9:28. So let's focus especially on the parable of the talents here in verses 14 through 30 and seven truths about talents. Seven truths about talents, because we want to be ready and we want to be working and prepared for the second coming of Christ. Truth number one, everyone has talent. Everyone has talent. When you look at how Matthew 25, 14 through 30 begins, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, nobody leaves empty-handed. Nobody leaves with nothing. One man leaves with 5 talents. Another man leaves with 2 talents. Another individual leaves with 1 talent. There's no complaining, there's no criticizing, there's no comparing of who gets what. And the reason why is because the Lord, the Master, is so gracious and so generous and so good. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift proceeds from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation, neither shadow of turning. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is found in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. God gives good gifts. Matthew 7:7-11. Now, nobody leaves empty-handed. A talent in this parable specifically has reference to a vast amount of money. As a matter of fact, listen, 1 talent would have been equal to about 20 years of wages. Would you be thrilled to death if somebody gave you 20 times your yearly wages right now? Then imagine this, someone gives you 40 times your yearly wages right now. Anybody going to feel shortchanged? Somebody gives you 5 times your yearly wages right now. And he says something like this, I'm allocating this for you to use. I'm entrusting it to your care. Invest it wisely and I'll come back. Everyone has talent. Everyone does. And whether we have been given 5 or 2 or 1, like in this story, we have been richly blessed. Can I get an amen there? Some people today want to complain if they don't have 5. Someone may have only 1 or 2. But I'll guarantee you when Jesus heard the story, told the story and the people heard it for the first time, nobody was complaining. Everybody thought about how good this master was, this Lord was, to have left that kind of fortune with 3 of his servants. You know, when you think about that, every member of the body of Christ has talent. While the term talent has reference to this vast sum of money here in Matthew 25, you can fairly think of the word talent as meaning anything that I can use. Anything that I can use in service and praise to my Lord. So our treasure, our time, our skills, our abilities, everyone has talent. Got that one? Lesson number 1. Now lesson number 2. When you look at Matthew 25 verses 14 through 30, you see we do not all have the same talent. We do not all have the same talent. He gave to 1 5, he gave to another 2, he gave to another 1. According to his will and purpose. Notice that in the passage. That in itself is amazing because it shows you the infinite creativity and beauty and power of God. Think of all the billions of people who have lived and nobody has exactly the same talent, skill set, abilities. We talk about snowflakes being unique. We see the tremendous power of God in the fact that this is how He designed us to. We do not all have the same talent. And there's something that's very precious about that, because sometimes we may think of ourselves as five talent people when we're two talent or one talent people. Sometimes we may think of ourselves as a one talent person, but God gave us five. Think of the possibility of either having an inferiority sense or a superiority sense regarding these things. But when we think about God doing this as He wills, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7 ought to jump out at us. And 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7 says, "What do you have that you didn't receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as if you haven't?" You talk about a crash course in humility, right there it is. We do not all have the same talent. But God is so amazing and so awesome that you're still unique. And I will not have to give an account to God that a five-talent person would if I am a two-talent person. I will not have to give an account that a five-talent person would if I'm a one-talent person. And you think about all of that and you can see how fair and gracious God is, because He doesn't hold us up to a standard that we are not equipped to comply with. Now stop and think about this. Aren't you glad? If you have parented, if you brought children in this world and tried to bring them up, all of us as parents at some point expect our children to comply to a standard that they are not quite equipped to reach just yet. Have you ever done that? But God never has, and God never will. And there's something comforting about that. And that's one of the great promises to be seen here. It talks about God's heart and God's will here. "If any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf." 1 Peter 4:16. 1 Peter 4:19 says, "Let us commit the well-keeping of our souls to Him as unto a faithful Creator." If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13. You know what that means? It means every promise that God makes, we can say tried and proved, and it's going to happen if it hasn't already. And every threat that God makes will come to pass too. It's not just idle speech. The warnings are real, just as the promises. So I think of those passages in the church that talk about every person being involved, every member of the body at work, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27. Every member of the body of Christ working and doing what God has gifted them, talent, given them talent to do, Ephesians 4, verses 7 through 16. And I think about how awesome and how fair God is. Truth number three. The Lord is the giver. The Lord is the giver of our talents. That is spelled out so plainly in the parable of the talents. The Lord is the giver of our talents. And again, what do you have that you haven't received? And if you received it, why is it that you're boasting as if you haven't? There is something incredibly humbling about the fact that whatever time, whatever treasure, whatever talent or gifts or abilities we have, we ultimately got them from God. Psalm 24 and verse 1. The heaven is the Lord's, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. All the beasts of the forest are His, and the cattle on a thousand hills. Psalm 50 and verse 15. What a vivid way of putting things. There's not one square inch. There's not one breathing thing, not one individual that God doesn't say, mine, mine, as the creator and sustainer and the one who sent Jesus as the Savior. That's awfully humbling. But there's another thing to think about. The Lord is the one who gives the talents. And the word that is used in the English Standard Version is the word entrust. He entrusts talents. And we are stewards. We are to be good managers of that which He gives. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. If one would be a steward, he must first be faithful. Here's a question for you. What are you doing with what God's given you? What are you doing with the time that God's given you? What are you doing with the talent that God's given you? Anything that can be used to praise and glorify Him can be called a talent. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with the treasure? What are you doing with the finances and material things that God has given you? A follow-up question. All of those things must be seen as gifts from the Lord. How am I using them in the service of my Master? Elders, are you a good steward of the task of shepherding? Deacons, are you models of service and action? Bible class teachers, you'll never think of class preparation and walking into a class with 10 screaming kids simultaneously all at once as you go in there. You'll never think of that as a burden when you think of each one of those precious souls and the opportunity to impact them for eternity. And sometimes the 10 or 12 screaming ones are in the auditorium Bible class. And those of us who teach that need to remember about the preciousness of each one too. Think of how many different areas we can go. But all of it is from Him. And so we should seek to use all of it for Him. To honor and praise Him. Truth number four, wise use must be made of our talents. Wise use must be made of our talents. From Matthew 25, 14 through 30, this is so evident. It's easily observed. The five-talent man and the two-talent man, when they are given this from the Master, it seems as if they are ready to jump into action. They are so overwhelmed by the gift that they want to get busy. Let's get to work. You know, the cause of Christ is so great, we need to have the same type of spirit. Amen to that? Let's get to work. Let's hold each other's hands up high. Let's be about the Father's business, Luke 2 and verse 49. There's no comparing, no complaining, no criticizing. There's no procrastination. There's no paralysis. The five and the two talent individuals get busy. I think there's excitement. There's excitement. Because aren't we supposed to be excited to be involved in something with so great a Lord and Master? Shouldn't you be excited that He has made this investment, this allocation of gifts and talents in your life and in mine? There's something exciting about that. And it really should never get old. We are indeed workers together with God, as Paul would say. There's excitement. And you can kind of see this. There's joy, too. One day, my master or Lord's coming back. You know, the text indicates he goes on a trip and there's a considerable delay in returning. I don't know when the Lord's going to come back. I don't know when my master's going to come back. But more than anything, I want to be able to show what I've done with what He's given. And I know He's going to be as excited as I am to try to talk with Him about it. And so they joyfully go about investing and allocating what the Lord has invested and allocated in them. And lo and behold, they double it. The five-talent man and the two-talent man double that. We don't know exactly how long that the Lord is gone in the parable, and that's not something that He chose to emphasize. But however long it was a significant enough period that five talents became 10. If each talent is 20 times our yearly salary, think about 10 talents. Think about 4. And they're excited, and there's a sense of, this may be the day He comes back, man, and if He does, things have really worked out with what He's given, and we've got a great return on what He's given us, on what He's given us and shared with us. It's even more. No wonder why the Bible says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor's not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. No wonder why Jesus says, I must work the works of Him while it's day. The night comes when no man can work. John 9 and verse 4. No wonder why the Bible says, not lagging in diligence, but fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12 and verse 11. No wonder the Bible says, work heartily as unto the Lord. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. No wonder the Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. You know, sometimes as Christians, we think, well, I've gotten older and my health is not so good and my talents have changed. And you know what? To some degree, that can be true. Amen. But there's not a single person that God will leave without talent. You will always have something that you can use to praise and glorify God. The moment may come in my life when I cannot stand before a group of people anymore. The moment may come in my life when I cannot speak anymore, so I cannot preach. But the moment will never come when there won't be something that I cannot use to honor and praise my Lord. And that's true of everybody. It really is. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus aforetime that we should walk therein. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. think about this, because when you talk about the five and two talent man and what they did, everything about them is showing their excitement and their passion and their desire to be faithful with what the Lord has given them. It really does. Where your treasure is, there your fill in the blank. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. I'll take that when the kids especially get in on that. Thank you all. Number five, consider this truth. It is possible to bury our talent. It is possible to bury our talent. You look at verses 24 through 30 of Matthew 25, and a sizable portion of this parable is devoted to the one talent man. All in all, it's quite balanced, but 24 through 30 are primarily about the one talent man. Whereas verses 14 through 23 have focused on the five and the two talent man. And think about this, because in another parable, the parable of the sower, the good and honest soil, think about Matthew 13, 23, because even the good and honest soil produces at different rates. Some of the soil returned 30 times, some 60, some 100. And nobody was looking down their nose at each other. I got 30, you got 60. There's not any kind of comparison going on. Everybody has their mind blown for what God has done with the seed. And we ought to have our mind blown with what God's done with what He's given us. All we were junior partners. We must be wise in our use of talents, and it's possible to bury our talent. The one talent man, catch this, listen. He buried his talent in the earth of fear, in the dirt of misunderstanding the nature of his master. He buried his talent. And few sins are more serious than that. Look at verse 24 and the wrong conception he had of his master. Verse 24, the wrong conception he had of his master. It says in verse 24, he also who had received the one talent came forward and said, Master, I knew you are a hard man, reaping what you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. Sometimes people say things, but he didn't really believe that. Had he believed that, he'd have really gotten on the ball. If he really believed that the Lord, the Master, was that hard, he'd have gotten on the ball. Sometimes fear is a pretty good motivation, an initial motivation, but it's not to be the only one. But he didn't really believe what he said. What I'm getting at is this. Talent barriers never lack for excuses. And they never conform to reality. Talent barriers won't lack for excuses, and they won't correspond with reality. A wrong conception of his Lord. It says he was afraid, though God has not given us a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Perfect love can cast out sinful fear. 1 John 4, 17 and 18. Those who are fearful in a sinful sense will be people that go to hell. Revelation 21 and verse 8. And when you look at the one talent guy and think about him, because he uses his time and his skill and his treasure in a way that lacks eternal purpose. Now there's a question for you. Is the bulk of your time and talent and treasure always going to what's lacking in eternal purpose? We ought to be able to be a Christian at work, at school, and to reflect Him in whatever environment. So don't go places that you don't need to, but the question remains. Sometimes retired people are not using their time and talent and treasure with an eternal purpose guiding it. It can happen with anybody. And one of the things that's the most tragic to me in all of this is this one talent man is living in fear when the 5 and 2 talent men got busy and they were excited and they were passionate, and there's a sense of joy knowing something that they've done something with what God the Lord has given them. And here's this guy, and no! I buried your talent over there. You can go and get it. And you can hear the Lord in this passage saying, at the very least, you could have put that in the bank and got some interest on it and given that to me, but you dug a hole and put a bunch of dirt on 20 years of wages? And the one that he is giving an account to is the one who made man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He missed the purpose. He would have been so needed and could have been such a blessing. You know what? I thank God for 1 talent and 2 talent people in the church who use that talent and see what God can do with it. Because there's not that many 5 talent people, and some of us may think we are, but we're not. There's some, and if you are, you'd never acknowledge it. You could only say, well, God, I'm going to have some responsibility before Him. Thank God for 1 and 2 talented people who use what God has given. Catch this. I hope you'll jot it down on paper, right here in your Bible, in your notes, certainly in your memories. Buried talent results in loss. Buried talent results in loss. You know what he does? You know what the Lord does, the Master does? That 1 talent give to the man that's got 10. Because he's going to at least try to get, he gets the idea that we're working together. To be ready and responsible and working. And thinking about eternity. Number 6. There is a law of gain and loss. There's a law of gain and loss relative to talent. You think about this particular parable. 5 becomes 10. No, 5 doesn't just become 10, it becomes 11. 2 becomes 4. And 1 is lost. Think of Galatians chapter 6, verses 5 through 10. Those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly, sowing to the wind and reaping the whirlwind. Think about sowing what's good and reaping what's good. And the text says of the 1 talent man, Listen, you wicked, slothful servant. You know what? We use the word wicked for axe murderers. We use the word wicked for people who steal all kinds of money from the impoverished and the poor. But the Lord used the word wicked for a man who buried what the Lord had given him in the first place. And he calls him slothful. Look at the contrast. The contrast couldn't be greater between the five and the two and the one. Think about it, Waylon, because one's going to be in a place where there's weeping and the other's going to be in a place of extreme joy. One hears, "You wicked, slothful servant." The other says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Look at the contrast. One will bask in the light of the presence of the Lord. The other will be in darkness. And it's all about how to make preparation for when the Lord returns. I'm glad that Jesus put those two parables back to back, because sometimes it's hard to get through Vestal's head. And the first one talks about the need for preparation, and the second one talks about how preparation is made. One talks about vigilance, being ready. The other talks about being faithful and useful. No wonder why Jesus is the master teacher. Hope the lesson has blessed you. It should have. We're about to stand and sing our song of encouragement, and perhaps there's someone here today that is looking at your life and you're thinking about wasted time, wasted talent, wasted treasure. And I don't know how much time you've got left, but I don't want to waste things. I don't want to bury what my Lord has given me to you. To bury talent is to lose it. You ever notice how much more difficult it gets to remember things as you age? Amen there? Even really important stuff? Books that you thought about reading but, you know, you never read? Things that you considered doing but you never did? Opportunities that repeatedly go unused to lift up and praise the Lord, they may not always be there. What I'm saying is, you may never have this moment again, but you're going to give an account to your Lord. That was the seventh point. I'm going to give an account to my Lord, the seventh truth. A day of reckoning is coming. Prepare to meet your God. Let us stand and sing.